We're doing Yeshaya. We're up to what they call the 43rd chapter, the 20th Pasuk. The Navi is describing the return of Israel to the land of Israel, the return of the people to the land. And the Navi describes, Techabedeni chayat asadet ani muvnot yahana, the wild animals that are out in the desert, chayat asadet, the wild animals, they will honor me because they will be so excited that now, when the Jewish people return to Israel, Hashem will make the deserts be replete with water. So even the wild animals will benefit from the return to Israel, because the deserts will have water. Neharot bishimon leashkot ami vechiri. I will make rivers in desolate areas to give my nation, my chosen nation, water to drink as they return to the land of Israel. Now, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Amzu yatzarti li, this nation of mine I created for me. Tehilati yisapehu, I created them so that they recount my praise. Our job in this world, one of our jobs in the world, is to praise Hashem. And so Hashem says, I will bring you back, and you will have a task to praise me for what I've done. Velo. Okay, I want to say something which is not political, so please don't interpret it as political. The Ribono Shel Olam gave us a tremendous gift. We are back in the land of Israel. And whether you want to celebrate Yom HaTzma'ut or you don't want to celebrate Yom HaTzma'ut, you want to say Hallel, you don't want to say Hallel, you want to make a bracha on Hallel, you don't want to make a bracha on Hallel, leave the politics out of it. There's a reality. And everyone agrees. There's a tremendous gift that Hashem gave us. And there are miracles. Rav Moshe Feinstein held you should not say Hallel with a bracha on Yom HaTzma'ut. But he writes in his responsa, you cannot ignore the miracles that were done to bring us back into Eretz Yisrael. You cannot ignore the gifts that our generation has merited that for millennia the Jewish people did not merit. We are living a golden era. We are living in an era of blessing. Not only because today we have running water, we have electricity, we have medicine, we have a tremendous advancement in the quality of living, but because we're back in the land of Israel. We have Torah here, we have sovereignty here, and even though the government is not exactly the way we'd like it to be, and that's putting it gently, right? There are things that are terribly wrong with the way the country is being run, and nonetheless, there's a tremendous blessing here. So if we can ignore the politics for a minute, leave out the question of whether you're Zionistic or Dati Lumi or Haredi and who you vote for and all that, leave that out. Let's stick to the truth. The truth of the matter is we have blessings here and we have a tremendous gift. And the Navi says part of the task of the Jewish people is to praise their Ribono Shel Olam for the good that he does for them. I'm not saying say the blessing for the Medina, don't say the blessing for the Medina. It's irrelevant. The point is, say thank you to the Ribono Shel Olam. You don't want to do it on Yom HaTzma'ut? Do it every day of the year. You don't have to do it on Yom HaTzma'ut. You should say, every day we have to thank the Ribono Shel Olam for the gift we have that we're here. And again, I'm not going into whether the Navi was describing the era we're living in or not, because no one knows. We'd love to think this is the era the Navi is describing, but we don't know. But that's, again, not the point. The point is, the Navi says part of our task in this world is to praise the Ribono Shel Olam for the good that he does for us. And people have to be bigger than the nitty-gritty questions of yes, Hallel, no Hallel, yes, blessing, no blessing, do shave on Yom HaTzma'ut, don't shave on Yom HaTzma'ut. Leave that. Irrespective of Yom HaTzma'ut, every day of the year, we have to thank the Ribono Shel Olam for the wonderful gift we have in this era. I'm with you.
We can take an example on the second Beit Mikdash, that even though they knew that it was going to be destroyed, I think right there is like, there are sources that say they knew it was going to be destroyed. It wasn't going to be an everlasting Beit Mikdash. At the same time, they were, you know, very happy to be in a land. They didn't like nitpick and say, hey, you know, what happened?
Oh, they did. We had that in last night's class in Ezra. Certainly did. it says at the inauguration ceremony, they were crying because they said it's pretty bad.
You could have said that this year, those words, in many times in history. First Temple, Second Temple, politics wasn't the way it should be. Kings weren't as good the way we wanted all the time. And it doesn't take away from the fact that, you know, and he gave a big compliment by saying our generation merits. We got it. I'm not sure if we were the generation that was better than others that didn't get it.
Oh, I didn't mean it that way.
Yeah. But you know, but the fact that we have it, and you know, let's be honest, it's not guaranteed to stay. I pray it does, but you know. Right.
I'm saying is that objective. No, I don't think anybody would say that if 378 Mekdash, you should have complained.
Yeah. Okay. ולא תקראת יעקב כי יגעת בי ישראל. I'm Israel. You haven't done what I wanted. You don't even call out to me. When you have problems, you call to the pagan gods. Ki yagata bi. You're tired of me. I'm Israel. Lo hevet ali seyolotecha uzvachecha lo chibatani. You haven't honored me with your offerings. You bring your animals to the pagan gods. You're not honoring me. Lo hevadticha b'mincha velo hogaticha bilvona. Hashem says, I didn't ask you for this large offering and this large gift. What do I tell you? Give me a fistful of flour. 3 fingers worth of flour. That's all you take from a mincha. And lo hogaticha, I didn't wear you down and insist that you're going to have to bring a large amount of frankincense. Go and see what goes on in the pagan temples. You want your offer to be accepted? Bring something very expensive. Hashem says the exact opposite. I've given you easy sacrifices. Lo kanita li vakesef kaneh. I didn't ask you to spend a lot of money to buy perfumes in my honor. וחלב זבחיך לא הרביתני. The fats of your offerings you haven't brought before me. אך העבדתיך בחטותיך הוגעתני. I'm sorry, העבדתני בחטותיך הוגעתני בעוונותיך. Hashem says, I didn't make you work hard, but you're certainly making me work hard. Look at what you're doing to me. You're transgressing. I've made life easy for you, and you, because of your transgressions, make me work hard. Chazal said, what does that mean? What did they do to make Hashem work hard? So, 2 interpretations to what's going on here. One interpretation is that Yechezkel sees the wind blowing, and Yechezkel sees the wind blowing from the north, and the wind is going throughout the world. Chazal say, what did that wind represent? Hashem said, after the Jewish people transgressed, I have to bring Nebuchadnezzar to conquer the Jewish people. I don't want to let Nebuchadnezzar conquer the Jewish people when he's just a simple king over a small territory. Let me allow him to conquer the world, and after he's conquered all of civilization, then he'll come and conquer Jerusalem. So Hashem says, look, because of your transgressions, I had to get Nebuchadnezzar to conquer the whole world before he comes to punish you. I didn't want you to be punished by a simple king. It was Nebuchadnezzar's job to punish you, so I made sure he'd conquer many, many other territories before he came to you. Yeah?
In Yoda, when Yoda complains that God took away the tree, so right, John also says, like, Ata Amalta, or like, he says, like,
Ata Chasta, he doesn't say Ata Amalta.
Amal.
Ah. Sher lo amalta, yeah.
So, and God was like, oh, well, I also have to work hard. I mean, amal is also hard work.
Okay.
But, I mean, that was to like, make a tree grow, but... give it weight that this is hard work and that is hard work? It's God, so what is that?
Right, it's metaphors. Hashem is speaking in terms we understand.
The entire Shiel is metaphors.
The entire?
The Shiel is metaphors. It says, you know, I don't require from you, to pay money, great money for sacrifices. Look, does God really, it's not, does the person bring sacrifices because he cares about the money? No, he's just saying, hey, look, you know,
from our perspective, we care about our money.
I know,
Hashem doesn't care. Hashem says, I made it easy for you because from my end, it's irrelevant. Hashem created the money, he created the animal, he created the human being. Does it really affect him? Does it matter to him what we do? He says, I care. Here's what I want you to do.
So you'll change.
But that's not the reason why a person would bring... It has nothing to do with why a person would bring a sacrifice to Hashem. Obviously, this issue is a more deep issue, which is Muna or whatever. The reason why a person is bringing to a pagan God as opposed to Hashem.
Okay. But sometimes it's important to point out a contradiction to a person. Sometimes we don't notice our own contradictions. Often we don't notice our own contradictions. And the idea of hard work, Hashem isn't saying, oh boy, I'm tired. Hashem's saying, I want you to realize that when you do things wrong, even when I punish you, I invest to make it a punishment that's fitting. And I change a lot of things in the world to do it right. And you guys don't have the decency to even consider serving me when things are going good. It's too hard for you. You're tired of me. Says the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm not tired of you. And even when I punish you, Hashem says, I'm doing it in a way that I've invested so that it honors you. It doesn't put you down. You're not just taken down by a small nation. Hashem says, you could have been taken down by a small nation. I could have had that happen, and I didn't.
When things go good, you're just thinking, that's the way the world works. Of course you get your mind every day.
And it's tough to serve Hashem. That's what Hashem says. Look at you. You keep saying, I'm so tired. Who has strength to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam? The Ribbono Shel Olam says, I work hard for you, so to speak. Not that it's hard on Hashem. But his point is, you shouldn't have that attitude. It's hard to serve Hashem. And every generation has their excuse. Meaning 50, 70 years ago, people said it was hard to keep Shabbos. Today, people say it's hard to make aliyah. People say it's hard to get up for minyan. Now, we always have things that the generation approaches as being difficult. It's hard on us. There was a time when people said it was hard to keep kosher. Meaning, different times in history, people used this as an excuse.
Hard to ignore the facts of science today and to believe, or hard to this, or hard to that. But they tell us that, right? Be careful when you wax fat and smoke, right? Be careful when things are good, because... then you don't like to feel gratitude. You like to feel that's just the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
He tells us.
Anochi hu mochef shaecha lemani. Hashem says, I've always been willing to erase your most brazen transgressions. Pishaecha is the things that a person does knowingly, willingly, against the will of Hashem. And Hashem says, I'm willing to erase it. And I'm always willing to erase it because of who I am. Not because you've deserved it. That's a very important point. We say it over and over again in benching, in Kriyat Shema, Leman Shemo Be'ava, we say in the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei. Not Kriyat Shema, Shmoneh Esrei. This idea is comforting also. The idea that Hashem says, I'm going to do it because of who I am. So that gives us a lot of strength, because very often we recognize that we're not worthy of it. We're not worthy of the forgiveness. We're not worthy of the kindness. If I have to stand on my own merits, well, I'm pretty scared to do that. But if I know Hashem wants to do good on our behalf, and that's what Hashem says, it is I. I'm going to erase your transgressions for my sake. You just have to take the step forward.
He believes in our potential, even if we don't deserve it based on what we've done at the moment, right?
Okay, that's an addition. That's not what he's saying here.
That's what you said last week, though.
That's another point, but it's not what's being said here. I'm saying Hashem saying, I'm doing it for my own sake. I want to. I want to forgive you. You have to take a step forward, but I want to. V'chatoteicha lo ezkor. And I won't remember what you've done wrong. Hashem says, I want to make life good for you, and I want to make it as though you never made any mistakes. V'chatoteicha lo ezkor. Meaning sometimes when a person does something wrong, so then they gain forgiveness, but we're not back where we used to be. Our relationship has been affected. Hashem says, I don't want to remember it. That's a tremendous strength. When a person says, I want to forgive you, and I want to leave the past in the past and build the future. Right? That's the famous line that person told me. You can forgive your spouse, but there are scars. And I didn't agree with him. Said you have to try and not leave scars. Forgive and move on. V'chatotecha lo ezkor. Hashem says, I'm ready to forgive and not remember what happened. Forgive and forget, right?
That's I don't know if it's possible. I mean, completely. Even chetah egel. Are we totally forgotten that we did that?
So the Navi seems to discern between pishaecha and chatotecha. Right, there's a difference on the weight of the transgression, but Chazal tell us that it depends on the strength of the tshuva. Yes. If we do the tshuva the way we
you're
should,
a totally different person. Therefore, Hashem can then
yeah.
forgive us completely.
The difficulty is in the application ben adam lachaveiro. Right, very often when couples have an issue. People forget the importance of saying, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Meaning, we as human beings are also capable of forgiving. We do have a need to hear from the other side, I'm sorry, I was wrong. A sincere apology, very often in our own personality, allows us to move forward. This can be between parents and children. We have to remember it as parents also. And we shouldn't hesitate if we're wrong. Then it's very good to tell children, I'm sorry, I was wrong. It's a strength. It teaches the kids also to be able to say they're sorry, and it helps heal if we were really wrong. So we should be upfront about it. Pasuk Chavav, Hazkireini. Hashem says, remind me. What do I owe you? We walk around with this feeling, Ribbon Shalom, you owe me. Look at what I've done. So the Ribbon Shalom says, remind me. It's like Hashem is using a metaphor here. As though Hashem says, remind me how much I owe you. Nishafeta yahad. Why don't we analyze this together, says the Ribbon Shalom. Let's take a look at who owes whom. Saperata leman titztak. Hashem says, why don't you tell me your argument? Usually the person who presents his argument first is the one who sounds most righteous. By presenting your argument first, so no one can test what you say. If you're the first one that gets the right to speak, so you can make yourself seem very, very pious. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, remind me what I owe you. Remind me how much you've done for me. Remind me how good you've been. Avicha harishon chata. Because let me remind you that your original patriarch began by transgressing. And this is either a reference to Adam Harishon, who didn't have the self-control, it would seem, from the very beginning. He ran after his desire and did not hold himself back from transgressing. Or it's talking about Avraham Avinu, who also reached a point where he said, Ribbono Shel Olam, can you give me a way of knowing that I will really inherit this land of Israel? So your original patriarch transgressed. Even those who speak on your behalf, they're supposed to be your lawyers, your representatives, and that is the righteous people in the generation. They've also transgressed against me, says the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'chalel sarei kodesh, because of your transgressions, I am going to achalel. we have the term kodesh, to sanctify. Chilul is the opposite of kodesh. Defile, how would you translate the word chilul? What?
Profane.
Profane, yes. Profane. To take away holiness is to profane. Profane is a verb.
Translated here.
Profane is a verb.
Yeah, profane.
In the past, I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary.
Okay. V'achaleil sarei kodesh. And so I've profaned the holy representatives, the holy nobles you had. So Hashem's saying in the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, when righteous people died, to a certain degree it was because of the transgressions of others. This is an interesting concept that Yeshaya is going to develop. The idea that we are judged as a people, not only as individuals, and sometimes we are judged as a world, not only as a people, and sometimes the punishment doesn't necessarily land on the individual who transgressed, which is something that needs a lot of work.
It's so obvious. Children, and you know, every firstborn, and you know, every, you know, it must be somebody righteous, so, right? I mean, it would. It's much harder to justify that you're really getting measure for measure in this lifetime.
Right, but then you have to ask, why is that fair?
Hashem, only if you believe in more than one world or more than one life.
Okay. So then what have I accomplished by saying that? I've accomplished that Hashem says that's the system. You understand it, you don't understand it. Bottom line, there is this element of that in the system. I'm saying it's important to discern between understanding what and understanding why. Here, what we're saying is what, not why. People sometimes use this as a why. Why did that person suffer? Oh, everyone's judged together. You didn't answer why. You answered the what. Fine, that's what I'm saying. That this is a what. This isn't a why. When we are taught that the world is judged as a world, that people are judged as people, communities as communities, families as families, and also as individuals, it's being revealed to us a what.
Oh, why did that person die? Because people are judged.
That's a what. That's not a why. You didn't really explain.
Martyrs, Yom Kippur, I mean, all kinds of things.
It's also a what. That's the way it works. Why does it work in that? That's something else.
Right. The two questions. Can anyone know? I for sure don't know, but it's chutzpah to say, you know, because I don't know, no one could know. But there are certain things that we learned, right? Even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know. He was asking. God said, you can't know. So, this deserves explanation, now I'm talking about it, so it's not fair.
Here the question is this past tense or future tense? Are we talking about V'achalel Sarei Kodesh, Moshe and Aaron also didn't stay alive, and in some places that's blamed on the Jewish people as a whole, that Moshe and Aaron didn't live, and that has different interpretations, if it's the people clambering on Aaron, if it's the people clambering on Moshe. Meaning when Moshe transgresses, it's in the middle of a heated argument with the Jewish people, where they're challenging him. Bring out water from this rock. No, that rock. If God's really the God, why don't you do it from this rock? Moshe, why isn't it working yet? We're standing here thirsty. The pressure when you have people and the masses yelling at you, it's very hard.
Moshe at some point thought they were going to kill him.
Not then, but yeah.
Right.
V'achalel Sarei Kodesh. Now remember, they're also clambering on Moshe at a difficult moment in his life. He's in the middle of mourning for his sister. His sister just passed away. Yeah. And they're standing not far from entering the land of Israel, and he has to deal with the fact that she just dropped dead. And instead of coming to comfort him, they're coming to complain, hey, there isn't enough water. So V'achalel Sarei Kodesh, according to one interpretation, is I profaned the holy nobles, a reference to Moshe and Aaron. Ve'etina lacherem Yaakov, and I've made the people of Israel, the people of Jacob. I've had them punished. Cherem over here could mean desolation, to be lost. And this is over the sin of the golden calf. Ve'Yisrael gidufim, and the nations also put you down, says the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is either talking past tense or future tense. The Ribbono Shel Olam is either talking about the generation of the desert, or he's talking about the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, which has not yet happened. He's saying, look at what destruction is coming. Let's compare. I've been so nice to you. Look at what you guys have been doing. V'ata shema Yaakov avdi v'Yisrael b'char tivo. So listen here, Yaakov. You are the one I've chosen. I want you to repent. I'm talking to you because I want you to come back. And that's where we'll pick up next week, Bezat Shem Pasuk Bet.